I see Amelia's hand is up. I'm not sure if it was still up from last time, or would you like to speak to the first question?
Sure. Yeah, thank you. So the qu most important quality or skill I would like to see in the next police chief is somebody who isn't afraid of the data, doesn't have like emotional or defensive responses to data and the suggestion that there are areas for improvement within the police department. So I think and for that to run deep, to go beyond just accepting with a smile, because that's a political thing, but to really take a look at the data and be willing to sit down and consider different ways to improve based on that. So and that quality would also include embracing oversight of the police that isn't run by the mayor or run by the police department, not being afraid of it, understanding that the common goal is to have healthy and safe policing in communities. So that's really what I hope to see in our next chief of police, that they understand that this is not an enemy of the police department. It is very much just driven by a desire to cohabitate and have healthy communities, safe communities, that's the common goal. The to not need to call 911, like to together create that kind of community. So that's the first answer. And then my second answer for things I would like to wait, are you going on to the second question as well, or should I just stick with this one?
Sorry, let's stick with this one. That way we
Okay.
can ask if anybody else would like to answer it, and then we can move on to the next question together.
Great. Thanks.
Let's see. Amelia, were you done with your answer? Looks like you've muted, so I'm going to assume so. Bonnie, I see that your hand is up. Would you like to speak to this question?
Yes, I would. Thank you. I would agree with what Amelia said, that we need a chief who is unafraid of the data and that he or she would be transparent and uninfluenced as much as possible by the politics of the city. And one big reason that I'm a body camera fan is that I think that that gives more data, more evidence, more objective things to look at. So I think that hopefully the person would be committed to finding a way to implement body cameras citywide. I also think that an honest, open, transparent chief who is willing to give information as openly and as soon as possible to the community for building trust, for helping to solve crimes and issues, and just as a big proponent of community policing. And this isn't necessarily a skill or a quality of the chief, but I would really love to see the next chief come from within MPD or within this general area, because I don't think we want a chief who comes in looking for a new job from day one. I think it really hurts the trust, the commitment, and even just the getting their head in the game here in Madison to solve problems between the police and the community. So I think that's all I got for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Alder Madison, would you like to speak?
Thank you. And I haven't I've been moving around the house as you all are chatting. So if someone's before me, please, grab them first. But I'll be very, very brief. I think it's important for whomever takes on this role to re-engage with groups who lots of folks in the city may refer to as hostile to police or anti-police, for example. Those phrases are often used. Because I think it's important whether or not I think it's important just to engage with folks that you may have historically been in conflict with, because there's still something to be gained from those relationships, those conversations, and potential partnerships. So I would like to see whomever is going to be leading MPD to make a conscious effort to reach out to those groups, and not necessarily in a hey, this is a great opportunity for publicity or photo ops, that kind of thing, but like a genuine coming together to the table and having conversations where there is the only thing to gain is listening to each other and finding some common places to collaborate or, to work together and not just sort of, we're here to take photos. I would suggest there be no photos, no press, no news release, none of that, because when you do that, it dilutes the whole purpose of getting together. So if for example, if I'm in conflict with MPD, we have this meeting, and then there's a press release that I didn't agree to that comes out the next day saying, oh, I met with Sabrina, historically, blah, 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 we've had this contentious relationship, then it dilutes, the feelings of trying to come together, for the common good of the greater city. So again, whomever is in this role going forward, it would be great if they'd be interested in re-engaging with groups who they may not have been for lots of reasons over the years. So that's my two cents. And I'm just in case I'm going to need somebody likely to let me back in the room because I got to head to my car and I live in one of those buildings that people complain about, one of those big, large buildings, and it's going to cut me off when I get in the garage.
I'll keep an eye out to let you back in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to answer to this question? What do you personally think is the most important quality or skill for your chief of police to have? Vanessa, I see your hand is up. Would you like to answer?
Yeah, I just didn't know. This is like, I'm new, so I didn't know if I'm supposed to speak on this.
This is open to anyone. It's a
Okay.
community listening session.
Well, thank you very much. I feel that I'd like to see someone that is in support of meaningful engagement with all community, our community as a whole, because we all impact one another. I'd also like to see someone with a strong awareness of the community's needs. Having cultural awareness and competency, someone that is open to feedback and in support of, putting in changes to improve community safety concerns based on the data that has been provided.
Thank you, Vanessa. Let's see, are there any other people in the meeting right now that would like to answer this question? If not, I can move on to the next. Going once, going twice. Janet, I see your hand is up. Would you like to answer to this question?
Well, I don't really have an answer to that question, but I guess what I'm wondering is what exactly is the relationship between the chief of police and you as the independent monitor? Because that might help determine what we think the qualities are. Thank you.
Sure. So, as far as the relationship between the chief and myself, the Office of the Independent Monitor oversees the Madison Police Department, but we don't have like a hiring or firing power. So, for example, here, like I'm not going to be overseeing the hiring of the chief of police. That falls within the Police and Fire Commission. However, as the working relationship between this office and the chief of police will be primarily pertaining towards like hopefully building that bridge between the police and the community, working on strengthening policies of transparency and de-escalation, and working together to improve the training and the experience of not just the officers, but the members of the public that engage with the officers. So there's a lot that will happen between the chief's office and my office. The only aspect, though, that as far as like the selection of a new chief, like that's mostly going to be a conversational one. At most, like what I'm trying to gain from this question is to get the community's input for when the PCOB meets, and we have board members discussing like what they want to see in a chief, what they want to make recommendations of, so that there's some aspect of the community's voice that's already that board members can already be made aware of. Would you like to answer to this question, or I'm sorry, I believe that you had said that you didn't, but like if you would like to now,
No, I'm fine. Thank you. I mean,
okay.
I think transparency probably is a big issue, and community engagement.
Thank you. Oh, I see another person is popping in. Okay. Well, if nobody else would like to answer to this question, I'm going to move on to the second one. So the second question I have for today is there a particular policy, procedure, or topic concerning the Madison Police Department that you hope will be reviewed, changed, or clarified in 2025? Anybody that wants to answer? Amelia, I see your hand.
I would actually appreciate it if the recommendations that had been made to the police department by the community and OIR be reviewed in terms of what have they accomplished and how far are they and what's their plan to accomplish the rest. And going into that whole process, one of the biggest concerns offered by Alders was who, and as well as retired police officers, was you can make these recommendations, but who's going to ensure that they follow through? So it's really important that there's follow through, and so I do hope that that happens. As so I know that's not one policy, but we went through so much getting those recommendations approved, and so if that there could be follow through on that, and then those that the department is struggling with, well, you have a data analyst, so perhaps more information is needed, more discussion is needed, to get a fresh perspective on some of those that they might be struggling with. So that's what I'd like to offer.
Thank you, Amelia. I see next I have Stephanie in the queue and then C. Mayberry. Stephanie, I think I just
Clyde
dropped
can
her
go
off. Oh,
first.
there we are.
Yeah, you can take C. Mayberry first.
Okay.
Hello. For me, I would say the complaint process. I do know when filing a complaint with most districts, they hand you a one-page letter and you have to fill it out. I think for some people, like literacy is a concern for me. So if we could allow possibly, and I know the PCOB might be over this, a way for folks to like go online and file their complaints in a trusted system that there will be a follow-up. Because if I'm filing a complaint against that district officer, because I think right now that's where you have to go and file the complaint, possibly, I don't know. If I hand it over to the sergeant who is over this officer, I do not trust that it's going to get to the proper place. So maybe an online system that the police department and maybe PCOB can have access to and see these complaints actually in real time, and then a follow-up system. So taking the complaints from paper and written complaints, keeping that, but also adding online complaint systems as well.
Thank you, Klein. Is there anyone else that would like to answer to this question?
All right, I will speak to it now if that's all right. To what Amelia was saying about the 177 recommendations, I agree, and that is a reason I wanted to get on the PCOB, so I'll just state that outright. So there are three subcommittees, policy and procedure, I think, and community engagement. And then the third one is, I think, data analysis. And I'm not sure exactly where this fits, but I would invite people, especially, it is really important that we do community engagement in a thorough way. And that's what I am hoping that we accomplish as a PCOB is, or as our subcommittees, is figuring out how and where some of those recommendations would actually be implemented and show and engage the community on their thoughts about it and show that there's support for policing a different way. And then for my particular wishes for the for policing and or yeah, for our community is that our funding reflects a community priority in investing in the health of our communities so people don't end up engaging the police and so people get more of their needs met. And that's always a big tension in the city. But I do hope that that we're able to get somewhere with actually having a more comprehensive picture and a more sort of positive picture of what community public safety means and what community engagement means and how we invest in the success and health of our communities and avoiding needing police resources or feeling the need for them because of conflict or violence and et cetera. Pass.
Thank you, Stephanie. I see Virginia has her hand up. Would you like to speak?
Hi, good afternoon. I think one of the policies we're thinking about we need more clarification and possibly improvement is language access. We're unclear about what are the procedures for MPD to provide language access. And we have experience, we have worked with individuals who have been criminalized by misunderstandings when they're reporting, when they have been asked question by a police officer. So I have asked, but not the answer is not clear to us as to language access. So we're advocating, and we have been advocating for a long time for a clarification, and again, probably possibly an improvement on language access plans.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that might want to answer this question? Oh, I see Nikki's Alder Conklin. Would you like to speak to this question?
I would, thank you. One thing I would like to see, I think, would be more follow-up. Like we see in the news or we read online or whatever the case, you know, a police officer arrested for firing his gun with the incident on State Street, and then we never know more what happened. He was put on administrative leave. So, you know, there's things like, how long are people on administrative leave for? How long are they still getting paid for? Are they going to get fired? Do they get fired? You know, I just want to see more because we know police officers, firefighters, they do wrongdoings. They're wrong in certain situations. So what is their consequences? Are they getting a 12-month suspension? Are they, you know, so I just want to see more follow through on what their punishment is, or do they just keep their job? Do they just keep going on like nothing has happened, which many of them do? So I want to know more so of, okay, if a police officer gets pulled over and they're got a DUI, what are the consequences for that, and how do we follow through on that? And Robin, if you're talking, you're muted, so we're not hearing anything.
Oh, my apologies. Yeah, sorry. I w thanked Alder Conklin and then asked if he would like to speak. Sorry, am I still muted? Vanessa, would you like to answer this
Oh,
question as well?
yes, I would. I would like to have a more understanding about what the police role will be as we move forward with the new administration and concerns surrounding immigration and ICE.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to answer to this question? Anybody at all? Hi, Bonnie, I see your hand up.
Okay, I'm outside and it's kind of windy, so if it sounds bad, just mute me or tell me to stop. But I do also think the 177 recommendations are a good thing for this group to keep track on of. I'm probably not the only one that's seen the big white binder that had all of the recommendations in it and the progress that had been really active, at least under interim Chief Wall. And he had kind of a checklist of all the things that they had started, completed, or couldn't do for one reason or another, whether it was a budgetary issue or a city attorney issue or if it involved other departments. So I think just keeping a good eye on that and acknowledging the progress and pointing out where work could still be done is important to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Oh, one last thing.
Oh,
I'm
go ahead.
sorry. I think, there's been quite a bit of trauma that a lot of these officers are dealing with. One death in the park department recently, and obviously the school shooting. So I just think, I know Amelia had initiated something about getting better mental wellness, well-being care, that kind of stuff. And I think that they're doing pretty well with that because I know they have a very robust peer support community, and I think the EPA does a good job. But I just think it's really important, especially with the number of hours worked, the amount of time on priority calls only, et cetera, that they have good mental health care. Because the worst thing is to have, unwell cops taking calls on the street. So that's another concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Is there anyone else that would like to answer to this question? Going once, going twice. Okay. Well, if you didn't answer to the question and you regret that later, I'm happy to say we have a survey. Where it's under the report section of the Office of the Independent Monitor's webpage. So I've got a little screenshot here. You'll go to that first arrow, there are the reports, and then down here under community listening sessions, we have a feedback form. That form is going to be live all the time. There is a section in there to kind of like specify like which community listening session you're following up on. That way we know, which questions you might be expanding upon. But also, this is a great place to go and make your recommendations as far as topics that you would like the OIM to have at their next community listening session, as well as make any kind of recommendations regarding accessibility. If there were any problems that you had accessing today's community listening session, please go to this feedback form so we can get those issues resolved for next time. That's the end of the session or everything that we have planned. I'm gonna give one last chance to anybody that would like to speak to either of the questions, but other than that, I think that I'll just give everyone their time back this afternoon. And I would like to thank you all so very much for coming and joining us for our first of many of these community listening sessions. Really, I'm very, very excited to see so many people show up to the first one, even at this strange time. And I'm looking forward to doing these at different times and at different locations, and hearing from all different aspects, areas of the city. I'm really looking forward to this. Oh, Amelia, I see your hand is up.
Yes, I just have one more question. Yeah, thanks again for doing this. Those were really great questions. I'm wondering if you will be having, and maybe you already answered this, but if you'll be having any in-person sessions for people who perhaps aren't as computer savvy or maybe don't have easy access to the internet.
Yes,
Is it
absolutely.
okay? Great.
I do want to have more in-person community listening sessions. We were honestly a little bit we were debating whether or not we wanted to do that with the first of these, and I decided that I think the digital would be best just because, it's January and there's, COVID is on the rise and everything, and I just didn't think it would be a good idea to meet in the middle of winter. But as the summer gets, or as the weather gets warmer and people start feeling a bit better, I think that we're gonna like try and have some in-person sessions probably in the spring. Clyde, I see your hand is up.
I just have two things. I do know as far as the PCOB, could you tell us how many board members sit on that board?
Yes, there are 11 members of the board.
Okay. And if I'm correct, two of them showed up for today's listening session. So for me, that's a little concerning. See it that this is a board that we have to trust as a community. And we're showing up, and I know everyone has busy lives. I do understand that, but not even half the board showed up. So that's a huge concern for me. If that could get like delivered to the board, that would be great. And then in a listening session, I would say for maybe the next time, if you do have like 15, 20 minutes left, I think we have 16 minutes left in this session, you should open the board or the meeting up for folks to share with you just their own thoughts, so that there is actually like a listening session. So folks are sharing how they like feel about police engagement and the things that we have going on. And that doesn't need to happen today. Like if we could break out early, I'm fine with that. But those are just two things that I would like to share. I do want to see this board show up because I can say that just from the research that I've done in regards to the boards, a lot of things are held up. And today, knowing that we have a board meeting or a meeting where, not a board meeting, but a meeting where there's a listening session and only 2 out of 11 folks are showing up, I think that that's a big problem. So we need to make sure that those folks are showing up so that we can trust that the work is going to get done.
Thank you, Clyde. I do just want to address one quick issue about open meetings law. So, actually, we don't really want to have the majority of the board showing up to these meetings because that creates a quorum. We can like post a notice of possible quorum, but I don't really want to run the risk of, there being a quorum of the board arriving somewhere and that wasn't previously noticed. So we can post a notice of possible quorum, and I can certainly send out a reminder to board members to let them know that it's happening. But the purpose behind recording these community listening sessions and for our data analyst and office manager to be here is so that we can take notes and relay not just the recording and like the input from the public, but essentially like how these things are going with the PCOB themselves later at their notice to meetings. I know that that's probably not the what you wanted to hear. I think that it would be great, honestly, if we could get the board together really, really often, but wrangling the schedules of 11 different people can be quite difficult sometimes, unfortunately. I see Stephanie has her hand up. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Just as a board member, I wanted to say that that we just got notice of this like last week and are attending without having organized it. And there's going to be a community engagement subcommittee, and it really I do expect that we'll have more open-ended sessions and more in-person and moving around, but the people here can help make that happen properly too, I think. So yeah, just acknowledging and all the board members just got notice of this and are just coming on board. Like, everybody is brand new, but I think that you will see some engagement from the board, and we've only just met for the first time, but I think there are a lot of people who want to be active for some positive reasons. That's it.
Hi, so Robin got kicked out. Thank you very much, Stephanie. Ian, I can see your hand up. You want to go next?
Hi, thank you. Hi, everybody. I joined late, so I'm sorry if I'm a bit confused or if this is going over my head, but I would think that community listening sessions are the time for 11 people who have tasked themselves with doing this important work to be available. I mean, could someone explain why a listening session of people whose role it is to listen would not include them? I didn't understand the last explanation of this, of why they're not supposed to be in the meetings, but they're going to get summaries of the meetings. It just feels like sort of a divorce between the people who are supposed to be doing the work and the community who wants to be in touch with them. Thank you.
Robin can answer this more, but I'm going to give you a short answer. So basically, the way the open records or public records law works is that board members are not supposed to be in any place without formal notice of the meeting. The idea is that you don't want them to unofficially, without intending to, form a quorum and discuss things that would potentially go on the agenda of the board. People complain about that all the time. You don't want to have to deal with that liability. But since the quorum is like 6 people, it's okay if we have less than 6 people. This does not mean that board members cannot show up or should not show up to these meetings. They can, but we're just trying to say this is why you would potentially not see like a full board at any of these meetings. On the other hand, or another angle is that going forward, we hope to have these community listening sessions in collaboration with, and to a certain extent, hosted by the community organizations that nominate people to the board. So for example, Urban Triage is an organization that nominates people to the board. We hope to have one with them going forward to kind of like target specific audiences. And yes, the PCOB member who was nominated by that organization is definitely expected to be at that community listening session, in addition to whoever else who wants to show up. I don't know if that answers your question.
It provides more information. I guess it doesn't answer it, though, but that's okay. Not everything has to be answered. I guess I'm just hearing that some amount of board members may be present in some meetings at the exclusion of other board members. I don't know what a quorum means, to be totally honest, but I'm just hearing a lot of reasons that sound contradictory, but I understand that I'm not the brightest crayon in the shed or whatever they say. Thank you for explaining.
Linda, I think you're next.
Oh, I was just going to note too that I think a lot of the board members are also employed. It's primarily a volunteer position, so I think with short notice of this listening session and having work schedules, they may just not have been able to accommodate to be here with their work schedule. So, you're kind of encouraging some grace as they have volunteered to spend their time on behalf of community. For this, and hopefully, yeah, evening and weekend ones can also be held so folks can attend.
I see Alder Conklin's hand is up.
Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to reiterate that there's city ordinances where it does not allow for all of them to be here because when you have more than six people and this is official city business, it's an open records request. It violates a lot of the city statutes and the city ordinances. So they are correct. Not everyone could be here, just like not everyone from the council could be here because we would be violating the rules. Okay. So I want to maybe can you just Robin, can you tell us when the next police civilian oversight board is? When did they meet? Because at every single one of those meetings it's open for the public to be there. People can give comments. So I think that might be helpful to let people know when you guys are meeting and when folks would be available to or when folks could come and speak their minds there as well, and how important it is for people to show up to those meetings and to be engaged and to listen to what you guys have going on and how they can participate. That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, we're looking at the next PCOB meeting.
Hold on, because I don't hear anything and I don't see. Did Robin disappear? And okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep losing access here. Sorry, where was I? Yeah, so the 29th is when we're planning to have the next session of the PCOB. That one is going to be mostly like kind of an onboarding kind of meeting, training, bringing all the new members up to speed on just general city policies and such. But I expect that probably the one where there's going to be a lot of room for I guess like public conversation engagement on various topics. I think that the best would actually be the February meeting, which I believe is going to be, if we continue to follow the Wednesday night model, would be Wednesday, the February 19th at 6 p.m.
So is it usually the third Wednesdays and the time period? Tell me that again.
So it's not usually anything because
Oh.
like basically the entire board is brand new. So we're just like
Correct.
resetting like to find what time works for everybody. At the moment, just based on some surveys that we've run, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. looks to be the most.
Robin, I think your mic is off, or I can't hear you. Sorry.
I think they actually got kicked out of the meeting.
I got notice that Liam Barron is now host.
Yeah, I'm getting that too. I'm not quite sure where that's coming from, but it seems whenever Robin leaves, somehow I become host.
Hi, sorry about that. I'm not sure what just happened there. We're having technical issues, so I'm gonna like try and wrap this up a little bit faster. I see Amelia and Tyson are both in the queue. Amelia, I'll let you go first.
I just wanted to offer this based on just what everybody has responded with in terms of PCOB members not all being here, and that what I have heard in the past and what I heard, what I'm hearing now is you're going to have a subcommittee for community engagement. I plan to show up for that. I'm not a member of this. I don't have any power with this, but I do know that, hey, everybody, it's our responsibility as community members, as we are doing right now, to pay attention to basically be the oversight of the PCOB. That's and the OIM. That's what we are. So showing up to those meetings where they're all present And also knowing that they'll be coming in smaller groups to these community sessions, where we can engage with different members, will also be happening. So, but I also want to say that I like throughout this whole process since the very beginning, 4 years ago, there have been great suggestions about organization and the ways to do things, which is part of what this meeting is, which I'm loving because I want this group to succeed so badly and keep going and building and strengthening and being able to do its job really well for this city and for the public. So I'm so looking forward to all the community engagement of people who are here and people who aren't here at the meetings myself, because I think that's the only way that this mechanism is going to be strong. So just wanted to say that and thank you all again.
Thank you, Amelia. Tyson? Tyson, I see your hand up. Would you like to speak? You are muted at the moment. I've sent a request to unmute. Tyson, can you hear me? All right, I'll wait for him to come back, but unless there's anybody else that would like to say anything, we're currently experiencing some technical issues here. I'm sorry that the folks here at OIM keep bouncing in and out of the meeting.
If I'm
Yeah,
such
we're having a little bit of connection issues in that regard. Oh, sorry, Tyson, are you there?
No, that this is Clyde. I
Oh,
know
hi,
I was
Clyde.
the one that raised the concern about the board members, and I just want to reply back to the answers that I got. So it does sound like there is something in the air that there is a thing about quorum, and the quorum is no more than six members showing up so that they don't break, I guess, some bylaws and constitution. So I just would feel good to know that the members
Hello.
worth
Oh, shoot.
Oh, go ahead, Tyson. He's back.
I'm so sorry. I stepped away from my phone and I just saw I was unmuted. Go ahead, continue, please. I apologize. Go ahead.
Oh no, sorry. It sounds like the quorum thing was a concern. It doesn't sound like that was told to the board members that only five should show up because, again, out of 11 people, I do think five of them could have showed up so that they don't break quorum. And then, just next time, I think answers would be like the reason why only three people showed up because we told them only half of them can't show up so that we know they're not showing up. And then it's not volunteer work because they do get paid stipends. So I do want to make sure that we are also transparent as being the OMI, that our recommendations are also a part of the PCOB listening. Like these are the things that we need so that we can support you all, but we do need you all to show up. So for me, I will show up. I will be present, but I do need them to show up and I do need them to be very present. And if five of them is showing up because they can't be over six, I want to hear that. I want to see five people. So I just wanted to just come back around to those answers.
Yeah, sorry. Is it my turn now? I apologize. I came in really late here. This meeting's really important to me. Unfortunately, I had some dual booking, and so I'm just coming on late, really late. I don't know what anyone has yet really talked about, so I apologize if I'm being repeating questions are not applicable to this meeting. But I just wanted to go ahead and ask a couple questions. I'm really excited to see you, Robin, as the IM and getting everything started. And first, I would love to meet with you one-on-one sometime soon. If you could put your email on the chat so I could email you to set that up, that would be great. And
Sure.
I just got a couple questions, broad strokes, about just going forward with our city and this board and your guys' jobs, which I know is going to be a really heavy lift. Which is, first and foremost, kind of how are we going to prioritize and make sure that we are making an inclusive way for people to actually do what this office is intended to do, which is making it accessible and available for civilians in the city of Madison to make complaints and put forth issues that they have and concerns that they have towards our police department if there are and feel heard, right? And that actually be implemented in a systems level and through our city government and through this office in the ways that it can and cannot? How is that going to be communicated properly so people know that that's an available like avenue to go if there is an issue? And how are we going to make it so it's not a bureaucratic process and something that anyone can understand, depending, no matter what background they have, no matter if they know how to, you know, access a city meeting or look at a Legistar document, it doesn't matter, they shouldn't have to. How are we going to make sure that this is an office where normal people and folks that quite frankly are not like me, who don't go on Legistar or don't like, you know, go to all these council meetings and don't have time, have two kids or whatever, especially from minority backgrounds, are the most impacted by, you know, issues with policing, are going to be able to have their voice heard, and not just have their voice heard, but like, you know, their issues acted on through this office. So I'll stop there. I know those are kind of broad strokes questions, but I just wanted to start there. If you already answered those, please just table it and I'll look at the meeting later when I review the recording. So thank you.
Yeah, Tyson, I would recommend that you join us for the community engagement subcommittees, because a lot of the questions that you raised there are exactly what the community engagement subcommittee is formed to address. So for about, like, I would say a solid like 80% of those items, you're going to feel right at home joining us at the community engagement subcommittee meetings. And yeah, we really encourage a lot of public input during those subcommittee meetings. So yeah, I would love to hear from you at those once we have those set up. As far as, you know, making sure that like processes and procedures are all well communicated to the public in, you know, readily accessible language, I will admit that that is not necessarily my strong suit, and it is something that I'm working on trying to remedy myself through collaborating with the Division of Civil Rights here in the city, and trying to, you know, work and practice more on my plain language typing. But in addition to that, I also want to have a lot more like infographics, for example, to explain procedures, because I mean, you can write things one way or the other as much as you want, but if you don't speak the language that I'm writing in, or just in general, if you're a visual learner, there's different ways that we can reach different people. So there's a lot of different ways that we're going to go about trying to make sure that as many people as possible find this office to be accessible and available. With that said, we are past 2 o'clock. And due to all the technical difficulties, I'm going to stop the recording now just so that is saved.